Here is again the word of the Lord to you from yesterday. Praise the Lord. You know, you never know the day of God's visitation, right? It could be the fellowship that you miss. It could be the day. you never know what the Lord is going to do and when he's going to move. You know, praise the Lord. So we were reading and speaking from the book of Haggai, Prophet Haggai, chapter 2. And yesterday was very prophetic because it turned out, and the Lord said, read from that. And it turned out that it was exactly the date that was spoken in that place. You know, yesterday was the 24th day of the 9th month, and the Lord said, read that. I read it, said, read it again. Well, you know, so here's what he said. Consider now from this day and upward. So it wasn't just from yesterday. That means it was just that yesterday was the start. Today is also part of it, because he said from this day and upward, and that was yesterday. Even from the 24th day of the 9th month. So we declared that yesterday, just like the Holy Spirit said to do. And, you know, all the blessings that followed. And he said, look, from this day forward will I bless you. Now, so, you know, that's up to you now, because the Lord has already spoken. It's up to the church now to say amen. You know, now, God is always dishing things out. It's up to you to grab yours. One time I said, well, the Lord showed me, I said, well, you know, I can see, you know, various packages falling. You got to grab yours, you know, and you grab yours, open it, and surprise, waiting for you inside. You know, so the Lord is good like that, you know. He's always dishing things out, always dishing things out. Because the scripture says, the Lord openeth his hands and satisfied the desire of every living thing. Well, the way I see it is his hands are like a buffet table. I mean, he's got, you know, any and all kinds of things. You can come out there and get yours. And that's the way I read that scripture. Lord opens his hands. I satisfy the desire. What's your desire? Come and get it, saith the Lord. That's right. Because God has the capacity and then some to meet all our needs. I mean, can you imagine someone who can give such a blanket promise like, ask anything in my name? Can you do that? Absolutely not. Can I do that? No, I can't do that. But God can, and he did. He said it, and he'll back it up. You know, if you believe it and you ask and it's according to his will, he will do it. Praise the Lord. You know, and more so when he said, I will bless you from this day forth. It's done. Now, you need to claim your blessings every day. Now, the specific blessing from this lesson of his counsel for your life shall stand is as follows. Just to summarize, it doesn't matter whether you are planning something else or not planning for it at all, or the enemy is planning something against you. You know, it doesn't matter. God's counsel for your life will stand. There's a lot of things that he will do. He said, look, he talked about foundation. And yesterday I talked about shaky foundation. If you have a shaky foundation, you know, the promises of God may not work as they're intended to. So let's make sure our foundation is solid. We gave the example of Jesus and the story he told about two houses, one built on the sand and one built upon the rock. And they both experienced the same problems. One stood, the other fell. So a solid foundation is necessary. And then he talked about all the things that he was going to do I mean, he said, I will shake heavens and earth. That's for you. That's on your behalf. You know, I mean, can you imagine? He did that one time for David. I mean, David said, when I prayed, the Lord shook the heavens and he shook the earth. You know, he rose up, he blasted out of his nostrils. You know, coals of fire were kindled by even, I mean, all the things that started happening, the drama, you know, from the throne, just because of one man's prayer. You know, he sent forth coals of lightning, thunders and hailstones, everything, because one man prayed. Well, you know, that man, the reason that he used to get that kind of attention from the Lord is because he knew how to exalt the Lord. That's it. Yeah, there's nothing more to it than that. You know, look at all the ways that David used to praise the Lord in the scriptures. Nobody else like him. Yeah, you know, and that's why God can answer him like that. You know, the Lord said, I will answer you in a place from a place of thunder. He did for David. He can do the same for you. But can you cause God to answer with a voice from on high like he did for David? Well, you can. First of all, you know, you got to know that, you know, you yourself can receive that experience. You know, that's the first thing. You got to know it. It told Zerubbabel here. I said yesterday, remove Zerubbabel and put your name there. You know, God was speaking to one person. I wasn't speaking to everybody in this particular prophecy. But that one person might as well be you. Why not? Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, read it to them and prophesy over everyone. And I did. Praise the Lord. So it's your turn now to just say amen. As a reminder, there is nothing that the devil can plan, you know, against you that the Lord cannot overturn and make it for your good. I'll tell you two quick stories. I love to tell these Bible stories. Many of you know that. So, two quick stories that I would tell you. You know, I'm not going to stop to read the scriptures. You know the stories. So I'll just tell you the stories. You know very well the story about Joseph. And you know all the negative things that were planned against him by his brothers because they were envious of him because of all the, and in fact, they were even angry at him because he opened his mouth foolishly and always telling them what God was showing him. Well, you know, people don't care that God's going to bless you. They will hate you for it. So you better be wise, you know. Jesus said, be wise as serpents. You know, what does a serpent do? Hide himself among the rocks. You can't see him. He's not going to show his hand openly, but harmless, you know, harmless. We're not going to strike like this serpent. We just, you know, use the slippery methods, but harmless as a dove. So, you know, but nevertheless, because God's purpose shall stand, even Joseph's own mistakes in opening his mouth and telling his brothers and his dad even what he saw and so forth, because the dad was not going to do anything against him, but the brothers were. It didn't matter whether he should have or shouldn't have opened his mouth. God was going to watch over that world. He suffered a bit, you know, but nevertheless, all the sufferings, God actually used all those sufferings to propel him closer and closer towards his destiny that was spoken to him in those dreams. So the purpose of God for Joseph was going to stand. No matter what the would-be destiny destroyers would try to throw him in the pit, to send him off to slavery. One woman even conspired against him, framed him, sent him to prison. On and on and on. But each time, he got closer and closer and closer to his destiny. Even the last person that forgot him in prison. the butler for 2 years. Forgot him in prison. Even that one was still working for a blessing to Joseph to get him there. Now, if the butler would have gotten to Pharaoh the day that he was restored and said, you know, there was a man that I met in prison that said such and such to me, and everything came to pass like he said, and here I am. The butler, I mean, the baker, it didn't go well for him, but me, here I am, you restored me. And that's exactly what the man said. This man is great. He would interpret your dreams. It would have meant nothing at all to Pharaoh because he had no need for that gifting. He would have had no need for it. So the Lord, you know, was using everything. Now, on a day when the Pharaoh would need the gifting that was in the life of Joseph, that was 2 years later, this man finally said, oh my goodness, I remember my faults this day. Blah, 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 he said. So, you know, and now it got the king's attention because he's saying, there is a man that I met in prison. Remember when you were angry and threw me and threw Baker and I and me into prison? Well, we met this young man. He could interpret dreams. In fact, everything, no matter what he said, it turned out exactly like that. Now I got the king's attention. So the king said, well, go fetch this man. So you see, you know, at the moment in time when the king needed that, then that was when this man remembered. Well, God orchestrated all of that. You know, sometimes you got to be patient and let God do what he's going to do. You know, the problem is we're not patient. None of us, you know, has that real patience. You know, I myself, you know, I'm a now person, you know, and I like things now, you know, but I've learned, you know, over time that, yeah, even though I'm a now person, I've learned to believe God in that now and then let it work itself out. You know, so I've turned my now posture to, well, I believe God now. And then, well, you know, it'll turn out, you know, later, because that's what Jesus said. He said, believe now and then you shall have, you know, what things soever you desire when you pray. At the time you pray, that's when you believe. And then later, you will have it. So that was Joseph's story. And you know the story very, very well. Well, all the negative things that were happening to him could not prevent the counsel of God for his life. You know, and the counsel of God for his life did indeed stand at the end. All those his wicked brothers that thought they had gotten rid of him, they did bow down to him, just like the word said. You know, and they did, every last one of them, you know, they did. That thing came to pass exactly. And was it only his brethren that bowed down to him? Of course not. God showed him only one thing, but there was much more. The whole world actually bowed down to Joseph at the time. I mean, Egypt was ruling the world. All the people that came to buy corn and everything, they were all bowing down to Joseph. It wasn't just his brothers, but his brothers too, because the word said so. You know, you can't shake this word. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. The prophet, you know, I said, prophetic word carries the power to create change. And your situation may be going opposite of whatever God has in store for you. When that prophetic word lights upon that situation, power to change it around. We saw many examples that we gave yesterday. I'm not going to go into all of that. The other story that I want to tell is the story of Mordecai versus Haman. You know, in the story in the book of Esther, you might know that story very well as well. Well, because this man Haman was promoted and, you know, everybody was told to bow the knee to him, and Mordecai wouldn't do it. Because as a Jew, Mordecai said, no, I'm only going to bow to the Lord my God. And so the man was furious that everybody is bowing to me, but not this man. He went home angry, told his wife, told some friends. And they stared him up and said, hey, are you not such and such? I mean, have you not been promoted over the land? You know, is not there power in your hand to do and undo? What are you worrying yourself about so, you know, such a man as just nothing, you know? And he said, well, what am I going to do? And I'm going to kill him. And he said, kill this man? That's not enough. Kill not only him, but all his tribe, every one of them, every last one of them. Kill them all. Show them who you are. So that was the plan of the would-be destiny killers and destroyers. But see how God turned everything around. The day that God would turn this around, God was setting this man up, setting up Haman. He didn't know it, you know. Of course, God gave wisdom to Esther. She began to do some things, invite the king to her banquet and this man. So this man is thinking in his heart. Of course, the Lord blinded his understanding for him to not remember that Esther was one of the people that he was trying to kill. And so Esther was softening him up, calling to the banquet and everything. And he was the only one invited. So he's thinking in his head, my goodness, I mean, what honor, what greatness I have here. So one day, when the Lord was going to bless Mordecai for his faithfulness, the counsel of God for Mordecai was that he would be great. But he wasn't great at the time. In fact, he was just sleeping outside the gate. You know, that wasn't any greatness. But God was going to make him great. And the day that God will make it happen, see, this is how God works. I've always called it divine appointments. And when God wants to do something and put a blessing in your life, he can orchestrate anything. First thing that happened was the angel of the Lord came down and troubled the king in his sleep. That's right. So the man could not sleep. That was the first thing. God, I mean, this king, kings can sleep. They have, you know, minstrels that could play to them. If they sleep on this plush bed and everything, you know, they have their concubines, their women and all of this. They can sleep, you know. But this man, the angel of the Lord, came down there, troubled him so that he could not sleep that night. That was the beginning. Now, when he couldn't sleep, he was looking for anything to do. Of course, you know, God put blockers in his mind. As well, the angel of the Lord, he would do that. He'll block us in his mind. He can't think of anything else. He could have asked for, bring me a minstrel, bring me this, do this and do that. He couldn't do it. You know, so God put in his mind the only thing that he was going to do. Get me something to read. Get me something to read. You know, the Lord has a plan in all of it. So when they are going to get him, they could have even gotten him anything to read. Anything. I mean, there's all kinds of things they could read. No, they went and got him the chronicles of the kings and they had their happenings and so forth. So, wow. And they got him the ones that related to his time. You know. And as he was reading, of course, the angel of the Lord guided him also to the place. He found the place where it was written that there was a coup attempt on the life of the king a couple of times. And Mordecai was the man that saved him out of it. And he said, wow. And he was reading throughout the night, really. And so finally he called his chamberlains together. He said, you all know this thing here, right? This and so, he said, yeah, we remember. Was there anything done for this man that saved the life of the king? You know, to defeat the council of these people that were trying to plot against the king? They said, nothing. So, what? Nothing? Say, yeah, well, I'm going to do something because this man saved the life of the king, you know, more than once. So well, I'm king, am I not? So he's thinking, his son, and at that moment, you know, it's already daytime, right? Because God troubles him throughout the night. It's daytime already. So a man has already come to ask to destroy the Jews upon a certain day, you know. He already had that planned and he was going to execute it. So he comes in there and The king says, at that very moment, see, God times everything. At the very moment that the king says, you know, who is in the courthouse? It could have been any of the chamberlains. It could have been anybody else. But because this man of stature, I mean, we call them timber and caliber in Nigeria. This man, you know, who was highly regarded in the kingdom, came. So everybody stepped aside. Nobody else would say, oh, I'm here. But this man is here now, you know. They say, oh, hey, man, he's here. King said, you know, come, you know. And God was setting everything up. So he comes before the king. Yeah, you know, the king says, tell me, if I desire to bless somebody and promote him and to really favor him, what should I do to such a person? Well, Haman is thinking in his mind, well, I mean, who else can it be? I'm the only one that was invited to the queen's banquet. I'm the only one that's this and that. You know, it's got to be me. It can't be anybody else. Who else can it be? So he piles it on. I love this story even better than the one for Joseph. He piles it on and piles it on and says, look, you know, let the king give this man his crown. He said, yeah. Give him his royal signet. Yeah. Put his, you know, robe on him. Yeah. Give him his chariot, which he used to ride. Yeah. I mean, he just piled on all the things that he wanted the king to do because he thought it was coming to him. You know, if he knew it was coming to somebody else, he probably would say, well, you know, let the king give the man a couple of days off. You know, something simple like that. You know, but he thought it was coming to him. So he piled it on. Meanwhile, well, the king was paying attention and just listening. And then when he was done, well, he said, are you done? He said, yeah, you know, I think I got it. Well, he said, you know, so listen to all the things he said, you know, thus shall be done to the man that the king wants to honor. You know, he said, well, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear. Now, this man wants the next person that this king wants to honor to wear the kingly apparel that the king wears. All right. Well, let the horse that the king rides on. I mean, are you kidding? You know, let the crown royal. Are you going to set up another king? I mean, he just piled it on. I mean, you know, and let the apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most trusted princes. Most trusted noble. See, now God is really setting up something here. Yeah, well, number one, you know, he piled up these things and they may array the man whom the king wants to honor and bring him on horseback throughout the streets of the city and proclaim before him. And I said, well, thus shall it be done. The man whom the king wants to honor. He said, okay, I like it. So the king said to Haman, make haste. Woo-hoo! Make haste and take the apparel and the horse and all that you have said, the crown and everything. Do it to Mordecai and let that diminish nothing of all that you have said. And go prove it to Mordecai. Oh my goodness. You talk about the Lord who set up a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And make your enemies serve you on that table. That's right. Now that's this story. You know, the counsel of God, not only to save the Jews, but to bless Mordecai. You know, even the Lord turned all the evil plans that was in the heart of Haman against Mordecai and the Jews. And it was his own very hands, his own very mouth, that promoted Mordecai. And in shame he went. See, he went in shame and did everything. All that he had thought was coming to him, he had to do everything to Mordecai. And he went and covered his head in mourning and in shame and so forth. So he went home in shame after he did all of that. And his wife told him, he said, and all his friends, those that were pouring him on before, instigating him to do all that evil, this time around, see, they'll double cross you too. They told him, they said, look, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt surely not prevail against him. Hallelujah. They told him, you cannot, this man is the seed of the Jews, and you have already started to fall before him. You cannot prevail against him, so don't even try. And that was the end of Mordecai. Of course, something happened too before, you know, to make all that get there. There was a time when he was trying to, you know, beg for his life. The queen had told the king that there's a man trying to destroy all of them. And of course, God had given Esther tremendous favor before the king. Remember, he said one time, what do you want? To the half of the kingdom, I'll give it to you. And he said, well, you know, somebody is trying to destroy all of us. The king had already signed that treaty, I mean that decree, but he didn't realize there were the people of his favored queen. And said, who is it that's trying to do this thing to you? Because they were at the banquet. And he said, it is this evil Haman. Haman, the king was so furious, he left the room, he stormed out of the room, he was so angry. While he stormed out of the room being so angry, Haman went and fell down before the queen, who was now sitting on the bed, to ask for his life, because he knew that now his life is in danger. Say, please, 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 please. Meanwhile, the king comes back. He sees the man around his bed with the queen. This story, I can't get enough out of it. He thinks the man is trying to force his wife in my house. So, oh yeah, everybody, this man, you know, is doomed. So now, right away, they're going to hang this man. So he goes away, he runs for his life, or trying to. Chamberlains are set after him. They capture him and they hang him and all his household on the, you know, same gallows that he had made for Mordecai. See how God turned the tables. Now, God will frustrate. This is the second part of what I want to say today. God will frustrate the tokens of the liars against you. That's right. Enchantments, divinations, anything that God has seen that the enemy is planning, God will frustrate them. Job chapter 5 verse 12 will tell you. God will disappoint the devices of the enemy, the devil, the wicked, so that their hands cannot perform any of their plans and enterprises against you. God will just disappoint. He will disable them completely. If they set traps for you, it will not work. Whatever they do will blow up in their face. Because the Lord said, I am he that frustrates the tokens of the liars. They do have tokens. And those tokens actually work against those that are not covered by the blood of Jesus, and against those who are not under the shadow of his wings. Those tokens actually work, trust me. But they cannot work for you. Glory to God. Because you are in the light. As long as you are in the light, the power of darkness cannot overcome you. Say, the light shineth, and the darkness cannot comprehend it or overcome it. Can't do it. You know? So, light always overcomes darkness. Praise the Lord. So God will frustrate the tokens of the liars in your life. God will disappoint their devices. Their hands cannot perform anything. All that they plan, God will turn it around. And eventually, God's counsel for your life will stand. Praise the Lord. You know the story of Ahithophel also. He was planning something against David. He was actually giving good counsel, but it was against David. And so God raised up somebody to counteract his counsel, who, I mean, under normal circumstances, nobody would have listened to anybody that challenged Ahithophel, because his counsel was as the counsel of an angel of God, we're told. And God disappointed it. Praise the Lord. You know, so, let me read this to you. In Isaiah 44, verse 24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, even he that formed thee from the womb. That's right. The Lord formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I stretch forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. What does that mean? I didn't need help doing that. I don't need help straightening up your life. I can do it too. You know, that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Frustrate them completely. They put all the tokens together, you know, tokens of witchcraft. They take your DNA. They do all kinds of things. They put it all together, but they're lying divinations. It's not going to work. Not against you. Work against somebody else, but it won't work against you. You know, and make their diviners, all the divination, to turn them backward. Turn them backward. Make their knowledge to be foolish. All the gazing, peeping and muttering spirits, they have gazed into the crystal balls. They've gazed, they've done this. God will make it foolish. It's not going to work. I say all these things just to help people who think along those lines, but you shouldn't even. I never even think of those things. It's a waste of my time to even worry myself about those things. It can never be. I can try from morning till evening. It's not even going to work. Praise the Lord. Now, because the Lord will cause his angels, give them charge over you to protect you in all your ways. And not only that, God has promised to surround you with favor, you know, as though you're surrounded with a shield. Psalm 5 and verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Just like you said yesterday, from this day forward, I will bless you. Well, the Lord will bless you now. With favor will he compass you about as with a shield. You know, the Lord is a sun and a shield to his people. He will compass you everywhere you go. Favor everywhere. And the counsel of God for your life will stand. Whether you are preparing for it or not, doesn't matter. David wasn't preparing to be king. He wasn't even invited at first to the audition. But he was the chosen one. I mean, whether you are preparing for it or not, the counsel of God for your life will stand. Proverbs 19 and 21 tells us there are many devices in the heart of a man. You know, we plan this, we plan that, we do this and do that. But that counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And that was our prayer yesterday. No matter what somebody is planning, you even are planning or not planning, no matter what, the Lord's counsel for your life will stand. You know, Isaiah 46 and 10 says, the Lord said, I am the one that declares the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. And just a recap of the scriptures we used yesterday. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about the amen that should follow after God says and declares these wonderful things to us. Well, what then should follow? Psalm 33 says, the counsel of the Lord will stand forever. The thoughts, that's Psalm 33, verse 11. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know, his counsel is going to stand. There is nothing the devil can do about it. The enemy can do about it. Numbers 23, 23 said, no enchantment, no divination is going to work against you. Only God's thoughts, which are for good, Jeremiah 29:11, only those will stand concerning you. So knowing therefore that the Lord has said these things, you know, what manner of gratitude we should show and confidence we should walk in. You know, finally, this last scripture, Isaiah 14:27, the Lord of hosts has proposed, you know, he has determined something in his heart. Who can disannul it? And his hand that is stretched out, who can turn it back? And the Lord has proposed to bless you. He has said yes, who can say no? Can't do it. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the confidence you got to hold your head high. The Lord said that from yesterday and onward, he will bless you. So walk in that blessing. Glory to God. Walk in that favor. You know, praise God. You might even want to change your name to blessing or favor or any such thing. Praise the Lord, because that's your name now. Favor is my name. That's a song that says that. Favor is your name now. Blessing is your name now. And the Lord said to Abraham, surely blessing, I will bless you. And the Lord said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. So that's our lesson for today. I mean, not really a new lesson, just a follow-up. I am looking for amen testimonies. So I just gave those quick summary and roundup just to help you get started. We're looking for amen testimonies. When the Lord has spoken, well, what should you say after that? Well, say it like Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word. That, you know, that's the trigger. When you say that, the Lord has already given his angels charge. They're waiting until you say that. Now, once you say that, though, they've got their orders. Nothing can stop them, because they are angels that excel in strength. They are prepared for moments such as that. They've been trained and prepared for it. You know, so once you say it, they go into action. That's it. And God said, look, if I have to move heaven and earth, I have to shake heaven and earth, move heaven and earth, do whatever, you know, I'm going to watch over that word. The word is to bless you. Glory to God. Now, you name your blessing. One song says, count your blessing, name them one by one. I say, name your blessing, write it upon the blank page that God has handed in your into your hand with a pen of fire. What will you write on it? Praise the Lord. You can write goodly things. You know, hallelujah. You can write whatever you want. You know, God's already seen it and he knows what you're going to write. So don't write anything negative. Don't even think anything negative. You know, you reach out by faith and believe God and speak the word only that God has spoken over you. You know, write things that are pleasant. Say, my heart is indicting a good matter. You know, thinking of good things. You know, scripture says, think on these things. Things that are of praise, things that are of virtue, Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a reminder again of the promise, the prophetic word that went out to each person that was in this room yesterday. From that day onward, including today, the next day, and the next day, and the next day after it, that you will bless us. Glory to God. Now, I pray that your people will step up into amen testimonies for their lives, and that they will walk in the blessings of the Lord. And everywhere they go, favor upon your people, favor everywhere, blessing of the Lord everywhere. And his blessing maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Therefore, Lord, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.